Introducing former Warriors sideline reporter, Matt Steinmetz.
Phenomenal hair. Yeah.
Former sales rep for a phone company, Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Hell yeah!
And former Wheel of Fortune contestant, Dan Dibley.
No.
This is Steiny Guru and Dibs.
For show.
On 95.7, The Game.
Steph holding high up top on the left side. Now Nunn crowds him a bit. He's driving right over to the wing. Backs it out again with a left-hand handle. Crossover dribble. Fires a contested three. Nope. Cash me out one time! Wow!
All right. That was a hell of a game last night that the Warriors won over the Miami Heat. 120-112 in overtime. That was Kevin Danna on the call on 95.7
The
Game. Steph Curry's big shots last night. Didn't have a lot of them, but the ones he had were big. And this is the high point of the season, right, guys? They're three games over. I'll start with Goo because he was excited last night after the game. Warriors now three games over. And the best win of the year last night, Goo?
It has to be. It totally is. And let me tell you why. Good morning, fellas. Because we talked about it yesterday, the cast, who was going to step up outside of Steph and Dre. And to find out right before game time, no Dre. Steph has arguably his worst game of the season. But then the We Believe part two, the strength in numbers 2.0 showed up. And Steiny, real quick, on the vine, I said, is this a no-show? You said, hey, guys, game not over. Miami could run dry. Thought about alcohol because I've been dry. And sure enough, Miami just wets the bed and the Warriors pull it out. Bazemore was phenomenal. Pascal, I mean, it was awesome. And now you just think, Dibs, you got to think this can propel them going into Orlando.
Well, you better. I mean, and they're playing great, except for the screeching halt that came to your boy Steph Curry's MVP case. I'm just making light of it. You gotta find a way to nitpick after that. I still would say the win over the Lakers on MLK Day was a, quote, bigger win because of, and you know this, Steiny, the historic nature of the rivalry and the historic nature of that day. But you look at the game last night, and I just got done watching the fourth quarter and overtime again to keep it fresh in my mind. Any game that has a comeback of that nature is not all necessarily equal parts collapse on the other side, but you could see the Heat at the end of their road trip up double digits the whole night, cruising in the fourth. You could see that they were starting to coast, but not the Warriors. The Heat get an ugly offensive rebound and score to go up 15 with about 9 minutes to go. Kerr calls timeout, showing his team, look, this is not over. And from that point forward, Goo, they fought, and they fought, and they played to try to win that game. And next thing you know, Miami didn't do a thing over the final 14 minutes of that ball game, 9 minutes of regulation and 5 minutes of overtime, and you're able to steal one.
Steiny, you stay even keel, but I feel some juice from you today. I feel some juice from you today.
You know what my old my old college coach says, when you're not feeling up, you got to fake it to start. And then, and just to follow up on Dib's point, he went to the 9 minute mark. At 6:40, Iguodala hit a three to put Miami up 14 with 6.5 left. And then Bazemore comes back and makes a three. And then Miami doesn't score, and they cut it to nine. I mean, it was one of those games where I felt like there were about six times in the game where Miami had an opportunity to go from 13 to 19, and it would have put the game away, but they never could do it, and that's a credit to the Warriors. And I think if you just draw it up perfectly, yeah, you'd like to have Steph Curry have 40 and go 15 for 22. But in a way, this is better. He was 5 for 20 from 3, and look around him. And no Draymond. And you get Bazemore playing huge. I think he was the biggest factor for the Warriors in that win. Pascal, man. Oubre, Wiggins, all contributing. And that's Dibs why I don't think there's a lot of momentum in the NBA from one game to another.
Right.
But if there is, I think this is the kind of game that'll give it to the Warriors because it was Steph hit a dagger, no doubt, but it was everybody but Steph last night, which means everybody's got to feel like they've contributed and they're invested in this thing.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that Pascal got to play with, quote, the grown-ups, you know, in the finishing lineup in the fourth and in OT, and he appointed himself very well. Kelly Oubre Jr. made a couple of big plays. Wiggins, a couple of head-scratchers, but he came through in the clutch. Bazemore probably had the best game, I don't know if I can say, of his career.
Phew.
I haven't followed his career that closely. His best game I've ever seen was a Warrior.
I mean,
he did it all. He took charges. He went to the hole. He hit a couple big threes. He was electrifying, and Steph kind of finally snapped out of it in OT and got you those couple of big buckets to salt away a game that you never had. You never led until, what, overtime? They led once in regulation, I think, in the end of regulation. But other than that, you trailed by double digits the whole night.
Yeah, and Steiny, you know, like the greatest boat crew in the world, we've been searching for another facet to this team, somebody or somebody's to step up outside of Dre and Steph, and I can't say it enough. Last night, you know, they had the chef's back, and they got it to the point where he could be Mariano Rivera and close it, and you watch him hit the shots, and that's when I was like, oh, boy, this thing is special, Dibs. And again, I know I'm the sports romantic. I just can't keep looking past Orlando and Charlotte, winnable games.
Right.
Like, you couldn't ask for a better send-off going on the airplane to get to those two cities.
Other than to have, you know, to win by 30 and sit everyone in the fourth quarter. But you had me at boat crew, Steinini.
Well,
he had me thinking about a Love Boat episode where Captain Steubing maybe has food poisoning and everyone else has to step up, you know, and so all of a sudden, Doc is kind of manning the bridge, and Julie McCoy is running extra shuffleboard in the Lido deck, and Isaac's pulling a double, and, you know, Doc's going extra hard with the ladies, and I don't know. That's just,
you know what? You know what, though? Maybe we should.
He's talking about boat crew.
I mean, maybe we should update, because, you know, we love the Love Boat, but maybe we should update to Below Deck, and you use Captain Lee. Captain Lee as the
I like that.
And then, of course, what's my girl's name? Who's the
Kate.
Lead? Kate Chastain. Kate Chastain. Yeah. She stepped up in a big, big way when Captain Lee, aka Steph.
Yeah.
I thought you were going
Kent
for
Bosun
the search.
Last night. The Kent Bazemore, the Bosun, stepping up, big, and you know, Pascal.
Can
somehow
they sustain it now,
yeah.
though? Can yeah, they sustain
exactly.
it, man?
Yeah. And how big was the tip at the end?
So you do watch that show, Dibs.
Boy, that's a great
so
question.
My viewing habits have done a full 360, as the kids would say.
I love the way Spadoni perks up when we say Below Deck too. He's all in on Below Deck, the new Love Boat. I thought he was going for Search Party there. We needed a search party to find Curry's teammates, and then last night they found him out in the middle of the ocean.
Just in time, too, because you needed – that overtime was crazy. It was like watching –
they were gas.
Like,
both
like watching Olympic hockey, you know, 0-0 in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
Just Curry throwing bricks.
Curry with 42 minutes last night. Which I saw sparked a lot of social media comment about. I guess they chase wins, the Warriors.
Right.
I guess it was the most minutes Curry played since 2017. So there you have it. I guess Steve Kerr, although really what are we talking about? We're talking about five extra minutes because he played in the overtime. Everything else is pretty much set up. And now they get Wiseman hopefully coming back on this trip. We'll see about Looney. And the other guy I keep thinking about, and there are a lot of guys to think about right now. How's Steve Kerr doing? How do you like the job Steve Kerr's doing right now? I mean, I don't have a complaint. I think he's doing a hell of a job. Goo?
It's funny you asked that because a few months back he said that this was going to be more fun than he had at any point in his career watching this young team grow. And Dibs, I promise you, it's not because Steiny just asked me. I've noticed him up off the bench more, almost like a collegiate coach, you know, because he's watching the maturation of some of these youngsters. He's dependent on it. This is a new challenge. But how can you not give him a A-minus or B-plus at this juncture? I know it was brought up this morning. If I got my red pen, I might A minus.
Got
a we're three over.
Year. Coach of the Year?
I didn't go there yet. Yeah, okay. We got to see where we end up. But 3-over right now, and if they can win their third in a row come tomorrow, you got to like what you see.
Yeah,
if they can win their third in a row, which would be the first time they do it. So you're going to give a guy an A-minus, and he can't even coax his team with two Hall of Famers to three straight wins? I hate to be the guy to be the realist of the program, but it's a B. It's a good, solid B, and it's a slap on the back, and it's a, you know what, Steve? You're a third of the way through. You've gotten you've gotten A's. You know, he's got nothing but A's, let's be honest, you know? You can 73-9, he fought back from injury. He had, you know, three titles and calamitous injury.
He didn't have to study much, though, Dibs. You know, he didn't have to study, did.
Last year, I give him a D. Nobody passes last year at 15-50. So,
I mean,
he's like that's my opinion.
Yeah, to me, he's been like over the 5-year period, he's been like the gifted student who got to go to VoTech. He just goes to vocational technical school, but he's a genius, and he just kind of coasts. You get where I'm going there, Kyle? You know, it's a blue-collar situation, but he's a genius. Thank you very much. So, Steve Kerr, here's the other thing. One or two wins. I mean, there's such a difference between 15-14 and 16-13. You win a couple games and now you're 3-over, and now all of a sudden you're starting to think, wow, even 3 out of 4. Now we get 5-over by the break. It's gonna be interesting to see how they finish up up until the All-Star break. But boy, what a game last night! And Dibs brought up something that I want to talk about on the other side, which to me, it's a little bittersweet about last night's game. We'll talk about that. We're also going to relive last night's game with some highlights on the other side. And I want you at 888-957-9570. Who was your MVP last night? And you got a lot of players to pick from. Who was your MVP and why? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're off and rolling here on 95.7 The Game. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great game last night. Great game at the Chase Center. Really, really was. And I just kept thinking the Warriors haven't been put away. They haven't been put away. Sometimes you don't think they have the firepower outside of Curry. And yet they got it done, came back from 14 down with 6.5 minutes left against the Miami Heat. And, I think Dibley's right. Half collapse, half comeback, but we're in the Bay, so we're talking comeback. And Kent Bazemore, 26, Pascal, solid, played at the end. And you know, we've hit Kelly Oubre hard, Dibs, but
yeah,
you gotta give him credit. You got to give him credit for last night. He, you know, the son of a gun keeps playing.
Yeah, he does. And that's a great way to put it. That's kind of the old school, you used to compliment somebody by punching them in the arm. Ah, you know, that a boy, that a tiger. Whatever, you know, give him hell and all that. But the son of a gun, he keeps playing. That's absolutely it. And he doesn't let things bother him. You know, he had that early shooting slump that was ghastly. And he looked a little hesitant for a moment, but then he just decided, I'm here, I'm balling, get used to me. And that's kind of what the whole team did last night. Without Curry, you saw Bazemore attack. Wiggins was aggressive. Pascal continues to impress. He had a few games where he had the knee soreness, and now he's looking aggressive and fresh and vibrant. And all this without Wiseman and Draymond, Goo. And even though the Heat were kind of leaking oil toward the end of a long trip, you still have to go out and take it. If somebody offers you something, you still have to go take it, and they did.
No doubt about it, Dibs. No doubt about it. And we'll get Guru back in a minute. But you're right about that.
Yeah. No, it's just the nature of the comeback, and it's the half collapse and the half comeback. It's absolutely true. And I just was thinking about Chick Hearn, the great Laker announcer. He was famous for the jello's starting to jiggle and the butter's getting hard, meaning that this game's put away, it's in the fridge. And I wonder how he would treat these games, because nowadays, 19 points, the Jell-O's not jiggling and the butter's not getting hard because of the tempo and the ability to shoot the three ball. So I wonder if the late, great legend Chick Hearn might have waited until it was at 25 or 30 before he went to his catchphrase.
Of course, not only Chick Hearn, you know, he's got his Jell-O jiggling, and then we also have Lawler's Law.
Right, first to 100. Yeah,
first team to 100 usually wins. I think the Warriors,
I love him.
They would have lost that game last night under Lawler's Law. You know what's funny is for three quarters of that game, guys, I thought we were going to come in here today and talk about the importance of Draymond Green because Steph was struggling. He couldn't make threes. Nobody was finding him. And, you know, that's the first thing I noticed that did he miss a couple that he normally makes? Yes. But you don't start 2 for 15 if you got 15 quality looks. And he didn't get the quality looks under – you know, without Draymond that he normally does. And I got to tell you, I just didn't think they were going to be able to have a comeback like that without Draymond on the floor because he's the one player who can impact both sides, probably more than any other player on the team. And he wasn't there, and he's kind of what makes him go. And that's another reason, Dibs, why I think this was such a nice win for the Warriors. Best win of the year, maybe, maybe not, but certainly up there.
Yeah, and they go out on the road on this note and to continue your domination of the Eastern Conference. And right now, they're an Eastern Conference playoff top four seed, I think, the way they've gone up against the East, which has some value. Obviously, you got to win the Western games head-to-head in order to really move up. But being able to beat these Eastern teams, especially. Now, if you go and you give one up against an Orlando team you should beat, and, you know, Goo, you start to look at, and you mentioned it, games now you're starting to feel some kind of way about. Like, this is a game we expect to win. So you want to go ahead and culminate victories when you get one like you did last night.
Yeah, and Stoney, I'm going to raise you one when you talked about what we were going to talk about today. Because when that fourth, third quarter buzzer went off, you're down 10. Steph Curry's going to sit for probably, what, 6 minutes? I was like, this ain't Saran, but it's a wrap. That's what I thought we were talking about. And then, listen, Stoney, on my list, I had the Kendrick Nunn conversation. Like, I was going to bring that up.
But we
are not, because the others, et cetera, they stepped up, man. And I'm telling you, I did some math. Right now, the Warriors are projected to win 41 games.
You're about to get some good old guru math. It may not have been Saran guru, but Miami was aluminum. You stepped on them, but they were aluminum. They got four.
They got a game tonight, Dibs. Miami's in sack. So this is why they're losing. They threw that game away. Calling no timeout after you got the ball the last possession? Throw the ball to the seven-footer 100 times in a row, but Iguodala wasn't even out there at the end. I don't know what Spo was thinking.
Well, what Spo did is what great coaches do. He took responsibility. He said, that's on me. Blame that one on me.
I didn't hear
it. And you know what's funny is half the time you don't call a timeout in that situation and it works. So – you know what? Good for Spoelstra's. Just like, you know what? I don't even want to. My bad. I should have called time. What do you want me to say?
I didn't hear him. I appreciate it.
So I don't like some teams usually have a rule or some kind of unwritten rule, Dibs, where it's, you know, if we get the rebound with five or less, we call time, but five or more and we go. You know, I don't think that was the reason they lost the game. It was part of it for sure. I just think that sometimes they have trouble scoring. And as good as Jimmy Butler was,
yeah.
See, that's the other thing. Jimmy Butler, triple-double. All right. Okay, great. Did he really, really impose his will on that game? Nope.
No, too much Andre Iguodala on offense, quite frankly. They were looking to him, and he was shooting. Bam Adebayo with a couple of misses. A couple of good contests at the rim where the 50-50 call, no call went the Warriors' way. This is not to say that they got breaks, but, you know, these things they do even out over time. And there was one sequence where the Warriors miss and there's three Heats getting the rebound and they straight just bobbled it out of bounds. I mean, they straight dropped it out of bounds. So it is one part comeback, one part collapse. But I saw a Miami Heat team, to your point, Steiny, that had a very limited ability to score. Duncan Robinson and Hero, they were non-factors in the game.
Hero and Steiny was awful. He made two shots like in the second quarter. What was he, 3 for 15? God.
And Jimmy Butler, I love you to death, and I appreciate the art, and I'm calling it that, of the driving kick. But good God, man, how many times are you going to get to the bucket, Dibs, and then look to pass? You're right there, Jimmy. JB, let it go. Shoot the damn ball. Are you hurt? I mean, Steiny, he had beat his man. He's at the bucket, and for whatever reason, he was kicking that thing out. Help the Warriors all you want, Jimmy.
I mean, welcome to the NBA 2021. Give up
Pascal had one where he drove to the rim. Pascal jumps toward the rim, turns his back to the cylinder. I mean, it would have been a contested left-hand three-foot teardrop, but nowadays it's like, and Kalena made a great point. He's like, he wasn't even looking at the rim. It's like, why would you? You got a three to shoot here, son. Oh, nobody wants a layup. We got a three ball coming.
Dibs, I went with, and I switch off here and there. I went with a national broadcast last night. You know this, no slight against Fitz, but
no,
I hope he's not listening. We love you.
No. This is not
be better at your job.
No. This is why Fitz is fast becoming, that segment's fast becoming one of the most popular on radio, is because Fitz knows that, you know, I'm only going to hit him 80% of the time, in order for me to be able to assess, broadcasting crews, I need to hear as many as possible. And that's all. But Fitz is,
who'd you have on the other side?
Mark Jackson and the guy who's now.
There you go.
Yeah, Mark Jones.
Mark Jones.
I liked him.
I love Mark Jones.
I got to agree.
Full stop.
Dibs. Yeah, I got to agree.
His lexicon is, he's got some stuff, man.
If I do a draft among the four, I only pick three. That's all I'm going to say. Hand down, man down. I can't. I feel like I know him.
You know, he's so good on the
But you
telly.
Don't. You don't, because you think he's a good guy. That's how you know you don't know him.
We all got warts, Steiny.
Yeah, but his are like boils. You know what I'm saying? I'm just messing around. I'm just in a good
mood. That was a great ad lib by you. That was good improv, a good radio.
You know why I like Mark Jones? Is because he said something last night. He said, Anthony Slater of The Athletic wrote a really good piece about something, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know what? Why is that so hard? But no, like a guy like Van Gundy and those guys would be like, I was reading something the other day. It's like, give the guy credit. Yeah. Whoever wrote it, give the
good
guy
point.
Or the woman credit. Yeah. Also, Mark Jackson.
I'm a Mark Jones, Doris Burke. When they're together, love it. Because Doris is an analyst.
Where's she been? I need more Doris. Good question, Goo.
Good question.
Yeah, damn.
I don't know.
I couldn't disagree with you anymore.
That's great. Hope she's doing well. And by the way, Mark Jackson, the one thing he did say last night, the play where Damian Lee went in and kneed the defender in the groinal area.
Yeah.
The jewels.
Mark Jackson was – and you know what's funny is I texted JD this about, I don't know, a month ago. I said, you know what, Damian Lee, a little sneaky, sneaky dirty. And Mark Jackson basically was like, if Damian Lee had done that on the playground, Mark Jackson was like, we'd have a big problem. We might be going at it. I was like, geez, Mark, wow.
I don't think
That's
it was
New
Mike
York coming out.
He said
That's
we
true.
Would have been going at Ruck it. Yeah, we would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Bob Fitzgerald, a.k.a. Bobby Fitz, actually said, that's a good piece of officiating right there. That's well officiated. And I
did
love
he call a charge on that? I forget this.
Yes, he did. Okay. Yes, he did.
And real quick.
Technically, go ahead, Goo.
I
had another great one-liner.
No,
I was just joking.
I was just going to go Kerr. Right. We got to talk about Kerr and why he might get the A-. That overturn call on the Wiggins foul of Butler, had he gone to the free throw line, he was going to make.
How's that get overturned?
I just.
How did that call get overturned?
My jaws are on the ground, man. Wow.
And to me, that was one Dibs where it was like, Okay, I see the replay. There's one foul on the two fouls. And then, okay, now he gets to the rim and maybe there wasn't. But this is such an easy call to not overturn because he got bumped on the way in. But
don't sleep on Kerr. He's got a great record challenging, Dibs.
Yeah, and the Spo coached, your boy Coach Spo challenged one later that didn't go their way, which was right because that call, Bazemore sold it. And, actually that one did get overturned, I believe.
Was that the one on the fast break?
Yeah, and Bazemore was out of control, and it looked like, well, he sold it like he got pushed, and so they called it, because that's what we do in our league, where a guy, Yeah, it had to be a foul.
I retweeted Dickinson. He said he tricked the layup. That's what he did, made for. I said, that's good stuff. Man.
Full disclosure, when I tore my ACL in the B League at Centerfield High, I screamed so loud with no contact. I also got the call. My brother Mike was happy to shoot both free throws on
my behalf. What shoes were you wearing?
Chuck Taylors, probably.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Got to go Chuck. Old school.
Dibs, that got to hurt, yeah.
But that was the thing. I mean, I guess Duncan Robinson just brushed him.
He's not
like,
the reason he missed the layup.
Of course he wasn't.
I've been hit harder getting on and off BART.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, by the way, you know what I saw the other day is I think it was in China or Japan. You see how they stuff people into the trains?
With the stick.
It's not cool, man. It's not. I thought it was fake, Stoddy, when I saw it.
I don't think it is.
No, it's real. It's real. And you know what? That job pays pretty good. Subway stuffer.
You couldn't do that over here, though, in, like, New York or the town. You ain't getting away with that, Stiney.
Yeah.
Whip out, like, a squeegee and start cramming people in.
I mean, there's just like the one dude I saw was, like, half and half, and he's just not phased at all, and he just knows he's going to get pushed in, and he takes it. He just takes getting pushed in. Pretty interesting. Andrew's in San Jose. What's up, Andrew? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Steiny. How could you be anything but after last night?
Well, you're right on the money. It was a great win.
I just wanted to call you guys because I don't remember, it was a couple months back, you guys were talking about how this team might be more fun than the 15, 16, 17, all the championship runs. And last night just solidified it for me, man. This is my favorite team probably in the last 3 years. I mean, KD was great. The winning was great. But seeing these guys hungry, fighting, struggling, coming back, just all of it's just fantastic. And then you got Kent Bazemore over there doing the three wiggle with his hand. I love it, man. I just can't get enough. And I just appreciate you guys always,
Thanks, man.
And I'll take your comments off the air.
Appreciate it. Really do. And I remember thinking this before the start of the season. And sometimes sometimes this is where I got to keep Goo in check. Cause Goo wants that championship this year or championship run this year. And that may be tough to put together, but you know what? You can find enjoyment and success in this season. There's no doubt about it. This team can be successful. This team can be incredibly fun. And this team can, like, hit a lot of its goals heading into next year without winning a title. And that's the thing that I think Warrior fans maybe didn't figure on happening, but it's happening, and you didn't think it might happen this way, Dibs.
Well, there are so many boxes to check, and in order to check a number of them, you have to make the playoffs. And to me, making the playoffs is the first big box, and then it's win a series. And obviously, Guru's talking about maybe contending for a chip and all that. That's all gravy. For me, the two big boxes are, you know, make the playoffs and then win a series. And coming along with all that is the emergence of Wiseman and the development of this player and that player and all the other things. But if I would have told you, Goo, yesterday as we got off the air, hey, Steph's going to have his worst shooting night in years and Draymond's not going to play. Give me a score prediction. You probably would have said 112-88 Miami or something of that ilk, but it didn't quite go that way.
And that's why it's the beauty of sports, the essence of it. You think you know what's going to happen, and you don't. I honestly believe if we could, you know, talk to Steve Kerr and you could give him a way the game was going to play out, A, B, or C, he would choose C because now the others have confidence. Wiseman's the gift under the Christmas tree. You got to reinsert him. And Steiny, I know realistically this team's not going to win a chip, but I'm with Dibs. The bottom line for success for this season, a playoff run, and now if the others can contribute a more aggressive Bazemore on a consistent basis, then what do you have? That's when I talk about Steph Curry and the rest of this team making noise in the first round. You said it. They came back on the Lakers. They beat the Clippers. They came back from Miami. And what I didn't mention, which I will now about Kerr, that team could have quit six times last night. And there's only one coach, and he might not have did diddly squat, but the team didn't quit, and you got to get a coach's propers.
Yeah. Kerr's doing a nice job, especially
Nice job, Kerr.
Managing the rotation, I think, a little bit last night.
Right.
How did they win? Well, you know, how did they win?
Did you think they lost Steiny before you sent the tweet?
Stop
like,
it!
You can run dry.
Stop
I
it!
I love that.
You Guru, it's the NBA. Dry. It's the NBA.
How many Steph was off?
Past tense was. Go! Come on! Seriously, how many times have we seen Curry and the Warriors do something like this? I mean, I got to tell you, Goo, I'm watching, it's like, sometimes I feel like, is this the first NBA game guys have watched? I mean, teams come back. The Heat had not put that game away, and I'm looking at Steph, I look at Steph Curry, he's like, the guy's 2 for 15, and you have not put this team away. Shame on you. You got trouble, and you don't even know it. Like, that's exactly the way I felt.
Totally.
And that's what you said on the thread, Steiny, if I may. Quote, this is from you, probably about halftime-ish. You said, hang around, and Curry will make a few in a row at some point. Now, I don't know if you were saying in overtime he'll make a few in a row, but you did indicate that if you hang around and Curry, you know, Curry's bound to make a few in a row at some point, and that happened to be in minutes 49 through 53. So, I mean, I was prescient because our thread was all over the board last night.
Go ahead, Gil. No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, you are, Steiny, I watched the league. You know I know teams come back, but we're talking about this team. I don't think we could count on our hand one or two times where Steph was off, Dre wasn't playing, and the rest of the gang did what they did yesterday. So at the end of the third, when that horn went off and he's going to sit, I'm talking about Steph, even though he's mired in his worst shooting game of the season, I'm thinking, how the hell are they going to keep him afloat? And they cut into the lead. So that's why I'm feeling so, you know, the emotion is running high. Like, damn, Steiny, you got to give me that ticket of, hey, Goo, I can understand how you and a bunch of other folks might have thought this was too steep a hill to climb.
No, disagree. We'll never give in on that. How'd they beat the Lakers and Clips? It was kind of the same recipe. Hang. And that's the thing that I, listen, Dibs, you got to give them credit for being able to come back from 15-plus down on a number of occasions this year. And that's got to come from Curry, even if he's not making shots, just being able to play with him.
Yeah, and it comes from a number of different things. And last night there was a sequence where you saw it. He comes down and he goes for his cut down the middle of the key where he normally pops out the weak side and kind of loops all the way up, and eventually the ball comes to him. Well, this time, instead of cutting, he just screens down and Oubre Jr. curls, and they find him for an easy four-footer because of not only Steph's IQ, but the play call. Knowing that the defense is used to Curry cutting through, he sets a screen. Next trip down, Curry finally gets untracked and hits a three. And now, because Miami was ice cold from the floor, the game goes from 9 to 6 to 4, back to 6, down to 3, and they just kept chipping away. Chip. And it's just interesting the way our thread kind of plays out in concert. If you use this as a companion to the game, the sea was angry, and then all of a sudden there was a glimmer of hope, and then all of a sudden we got action.
Yeah, 15 after one.
Yeah, next thing you know, we're giving out flowers, and it's great to see. If only our thread could be publicized as a companion piece, you know, with the
actual game. Guess who said what?
Yeah.
Well,
I said nothing, but, you know.
Cash me out one time.
You were kind of silent last night.
Yeah, night.
Yeah, was that your night without saying it, huh? Because you can night without saying it, right?
Yeah. Well, cool. Sometimes I'm behind, you know, if you got a pause because you got a dinner, you got a conversation you need to have. If I'm checking the thread, it's like, what the hell? They've got to be down 27. I haven't even started it yet, guys. What are you doing to me?
And, Goo, one of my favorite Bible passages is "this too shall pass." And I think you need to keep that in mind when the Warriors are being the victim of, let's say, a flurry. You know, they get down 15 and nothing's good. Goo, this too shall pass. It'll often pass right around the second quarter. Midway through the second quarter, it sometimes passes. So, you know, you got to play the full 48. And just keep in mind that this team is it's a plucky little team. It's a plucky little gutsy team this morning.
And if I may quote Goo from, you know, this is Goo from probably late third quarter, maybe early fourth. This game is about what the Dubs do when Steph sits. Yikes. And it's classic Dibber yikes there. I give myself five crides for my own impersonation.
Yeah, but I have stolen that from you, Diz.
No, it's yikes is for everyone because the other, you know, the real one is oh blank. It's more of a profanity. Yikes is in place of a different word. But that's kind of how we all felt, Goo, because what you said before, he goes to the bench at the end of the third, you're down double digits, and you've done nothing, and there's no Draymond?
Man.
Yikes.
Oh, man.
How about this? We can play a little game of the five of us, me, Goo, Dibs, Kyle, and Spadoni. Who texted late in the third quarter, Wanamaker gotta go? Wanamaker gotta go. 888-957-9570. Which of the five of us do you think texted to the group, Wanamaker gotta go?
That's a great contest because
I love it, right?
I mean, honestly, that could come from any of the five of us.
Exactly.
But, unfortunately, I already declared my being in absentia from the thread, so it really is down to the final four at 888-957-9570. And also, Stani, on the other side, you've got a stat for us that I think will floor people as it pertains to Steph and Draymond.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for bringing that up. I am gonna drop that one on the other side. Steph with Draymond, Steph without Draymond. But any way you cut it, last night's game was sweet. The Warriors come back from 14 down with 6.5 minutes left. They end up pulling away in overtime, and now they go on the road for four games, seven of their next eight on the road. So they still got to hang on. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. I'm going to give you that sweet stat. Also, what is the identity of this Golden State Warriors team? Steve Kerr talked about it early in the year. We don't have an identity. We got to find it. We're now 29 games in. What do you think the Warriors' identity is? And that's all sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Bazemore fakes the handoff to Steph. He'll drive right down the lane, puts it up, blocked. Wiggins is there. He puts it up too strong. The tap follow finally there for Baze, who flexes afterwards, and Golden State finally has its first lead of the game.
Yeah, Kent Bazemore, big, big, big part of last night's win by the Golden State Warriors, 120-112 in overtime. Just a good ball game, a very entertaining, and the Warriors winning in overtime. I just kind of was, you know, Kerr's talked about the identity of this team, and I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you one thing. The one word I would do, you know what? They're tough. This team's pretty tough. Draymond obviously's got some toughness. Oubre's got some toughness. I think Curry's competitiveness is underrated. They're starting to develop a reputation for just you got to play 48 minutes to beat the Warriors, and that's a good foundation to have. Dibs,
feisty,
yeah.
And Bazemore, I don't know if you mentioned Juan Toscano-Anderson. Shout out East Oakland, the Deep East, 95th is in the building.
Juan T.
I wouldn't necessarily call him soft. Per se, and up in 5 minutes, we reveal the age-old question of who texted Wanamaker gotta go. That's I don't know if we have any guesses on the text line. Or,
there's a favorite on the text line. Yeah, there's
a favorite. Spadoni, Kyle, Steiny, or Guru, who is the ill-fated texter who's looking for a one-way Amtrak ticket for a Bradley Wanamaker. But I digest, Steiny. This team is tough. It's feisty. And you know what? Being called dirty isn't necessarily the worst thing, in my opinion. It shows that you're playing on the edge. And, you know, I was always overmatched and undermanned whenever I competed. So I was a guy who lived on that line. My father taught me that, the late Dwayne Dibley. He said, you know, if you're playing against somebody with a good jumper, if they're going to shoot a jumper, go ahead and poke them in the stomach one time. Not too hard, but give them a little jab. And then next time, maybe you might get called for a foul. Just a little poke. And then, you know, from then on, all you have to do is feign like you're going to poke them, and they're going to shrink up a little bit.
Oh, my God, Dibs. You're taking Danny me back. You are taking me back to February 2nd, 1986. Now, make it 1982. We're playing Reading High in the Berks County semifinals, and me and Alan Tyson, man, we had had 2 or 3 years of great battles, and I go up for a little elbow jumper, and he gives me a jab to the solar plexus, and I was begging. Looking all around, nobody saw it. Got no call. Your boy
Alan
finished.
Tyson.
Your boy finished 2 for 11 that night, Dibs.
Wow,
we lost 55 to 40. He just
choke artist.
Yeah, I just he just it
so
hurt.
Be physical with Steiny is the blitz. Right.
I'm wow, just yeah. So Dibley, you actually did that. Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I mean, at times. Depending on who I had running with me, because sometimes you would catch a spicy hot wing, Goo. You catch a, you know, next trip down, you're guarding that same guy, and all of a sudden he pivots into you, and you catch a bow. It's like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. Goo, what would you say describes this team? Yeah, their identity,
if you
will.
I got two things. They're tenacious on defense. They play the passing lanes, and they shoot threes. Let's be honest. Let's put the right on the table. They shot 52 yesterday, attempted 52, but this is what they do. It's a hit. I know it's a make-or-miss league, but when you watch this Warrior team, sometimes last night I was watching Bam just get the ball and go up because he was physically superior to who was guarding him and was given 4 or 5 inches, but that'll change when Wiseman gets back and he develops that. But I would say shooting the three-pointer on offense and getting after you defensively, because that's what's kept them in the game last night. Tenacious.
Yeah, it was a nice all-around game for the Golden State Warriors, certainly in the second half. I told you guys I was going to give you a stat, and I have it in front of me, but I want to do the percentages. Okay, what do you think? You know what? I may... God, I blew this. I want to do it. I want to be more detailed about this.
Choke artist.
I'll give it.
Fumble,
I'll give it in like 5 minutes. Okay. Here's the thing. Somebody texted last night during during the game thread that Wanamaker gotta go. Wanamaker gotta go, and it was I think midway to late third quarter.
Yeah.
And here's some texts. Come on, it had to be Guru. That's from the 650.
About 100 of those.
707, Guru, LAA, Guru for sure. Guru 707. 707,
man.
Guru easy. 408, Guru said Wanamaker got to go.
Wow.
415, Guru got to go. Had to say it because he called him Wanamisser. Here's one Spadoni, spelled awful. They spelled Spadoni, S-P-A-D-O, knee. Ken, K-N-E-E, like
yeah,
knee.
It's actually S-P-A-D-O-U-G-H.
It might have been Floyd Mayweather that sent that one.
Yeah. Nice. How about this?
We love you, Floyd.
For an upset special, you're all wrong.
It what?
Mild-mannered Kyle Madsen.
Yeah.
Mild-mannered
Take
Madsen?
That, text line. Yeah. Kyle,
you know,
gets after it. Yeah,
you know what's funny?
Kyle's
got a couple players on this team that he can't stand.
Yeah. I know
and
who they
just,
are, too.
Yeah.
And you know that you can't spell Madsen without M-A-D. And he was, man, a Wanamaker. Kyle, what did he ever do to you?
Well, we're listening.
I believe we had a conversation at the start of this season about how awful Jordan Poole was last year and how he can't play in the NBA. That's why he's in the G League. Jordan Poole's numbers compare favorably to Brad Wanamaker's this year. That's the level that he's at. Wanamaker just doesn't score as much.
Yikes.
You got to go.
That's made even more awkward by the fact that Kyle's wearing a Jeremy Lin Santa Cruz jersey right now, hoping for the call-up.
I just got it.
What?
I just got it.
It's cool.
Wait, let me see that.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, huh? Nice. Got the Lin on the back.
It's just a black shirt, it looks like, to here.
I'm with you,
Steiny.
Simon,
you're doing
that.
A great job.
Oh, the back. I didn't see the back.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't see the back. Oh, that's cool.
It's just a black shirt.
Oh, man, that is nice.
It's called
the
Theater of the
listeners
can't
mind. See what we see, right?
Well, I didn't see the back of it, Dibs. I didn't see the number and the name on it.
I remember my first 12 years in radio.
All right.
Hey,
what's your major?
I need help.
Yeah, go ahead,
Goo.
I'm almost got this stat under. Just
What do I do about Santa Cruz? Because your boy Poole's putting up numbers. There's the Jeremy Lin thing. I think it's a thing. And your boy Smiley Geach was jumping out the gym last night. Do we see him? All right.
Yeah, we see him in Santa Cruz.
I just asked.
You can catch him streaming, I believe. I believe you can get the Santa Cruz
game. He was jumping out the gym. They making noise.
Well, that's all that matters. Can he jump out of the gym? If so, bring him up to the big club. You got to bring him up to the big club.
He was bouncy.
Yes. Dibs, you brought up something in the pre-show meeting that I thought was really interesting, too, about how – I want you to set it up, just how that game last night, while it was a great game, it didn't feed into – getting the Chase Center a reputation. I want you to do it because you did it real nice this morning. I got what you were saying.
Thanks. I'll try to do the 2.0 version as good, if not a little bit better with the updates. But to me, it's a shame that game was played without fans, because that game would have been an old-school Roracle-style game with the crowd. And Chase Center so far hasn't had a lot of those moments, those roar moments, those wow moments. You open up in a pandemic and you go 15-50, you're not going to have that many moments. Well, this team, I think, is ready built, tailor made for a Warrior fan base to truly love them. This team reminds me of some of the days gone by teams, maybe even pre We Believe or around those We Believe years, where you never knew what you were going to get. You could have dramatic comebacks. You could have fun, wild games, back and forth, seesaw, crowd-pleasing players. I think this team would be a perfect one to really kind of get the Chase Center culture established. Yet, you don't have any fans because this damn pandemic, or this damn demic, as I like to call it privately. And you hope that these two things, is there going to be a confluence of events? Can we get control? Can we get vaccinated enough to where we get fans back in arenas in time to maybe see a Warrior playoff game? And I know that this year it'd be what, mid-April, first round, roughly. I think that's mid to late April as I think about what we'd be looking at. I'll check the exact dates, but I know that it might be tough to get there. And it just kind of hit me yesterday with the whole talk about NBA players and the pandemic, and you know, they're feeling pressure to endorse it, and should they be endorsing it? And I'll put all that aside. For me, it's just an interesting confluence. And last night hit me because an overtime win on Andre Iguodala's quote-unquote homecoming, that place would have been bananas. That would have been an unbelievable game to be at, and we kind of missed out on that.
Yeah, that's a good call. And I wasn't even thinking about that. And the other aspect of it, Dibs, is you're down 15 at home. Got to be tougher to come back without fans than with fans if you're playing in your home arena. So you're right. I'm imagining last night's game on TV with the place just going nuts. Ooh. And now you start saying, we're starting to feel a little bit, you're starting to get to know the Chase Center. It's starting to get its we have no idea what the Chase Center is right now in terms of a home venue. So
decimal levels and all that, Stein.
Hopefully,
we'll get some
crowds back at that arena. I just don't know how soon.
And don't sleep on what Kelly Oubre said a couple weeks ago after he had a good game. I think it was the 40-point game. And again, we can never actually tangibly tell who this affects, but he said he's a performer. He depends on the crowd. He didn't say he was being less professional. He said he's a performer, and that the crowd being at the games almost, you know, elevate his game. And I sat back like, man, that's probably like a great singer going in an arena and nobody's there. That emotion and passion that these guys and gals depend on is not there. Maybe some of these players are struggling. No excuses, but you're right, man. It's like soulless right now because it doesn't have, like last night, like you just mentioned, Stoney, would have been perfect to build, you know, hey, and that intimidation factor as teams come in and play the Chase Center to build what Oracle had.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station, and this segment is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here's the one warning I would say about that game last night. the outlier, if you will. The fact that they won that game without Draymond Green, don't get used to it. Don't get used to it, and here's why. Steph Curry this year, okay, he's shooting 42.5% from three-point range. So he's right around his usual numbers, right? Guru, yeah. Check this out.
All right.
And Dibs. When Steph Curry plays with Draymond Green, his shooting percentage from three-point range is 45.4%. His three-point shooting percentage when Draymond Green doesn't play, 29.6%. 29.6%. Now how important is Draymond Green to this team when you start to think about it that way? Man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.